The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Hide the kids and the easily offended. This is the Nate Darling Show, uncensored.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
You know, ironically, I'm not. I'm actually all by myself. Anyway, I won't sing that for you. If you want to know why, go back and listen to last Wednesday's episode. I explained it there. Come on, it's fine. The whole gang should be back next week as we roll toward 500 shows, 500 episodes of the Nate Darling Show next Monday. A week from today, we release episode 500. Holy fuck, that is a lot of me talking about shit. It really is. There's a lot of nonsense that's going on. Thank you. If you're someone who's been listening for a long time to the show. Thank you if you've just started listening recently, and just welcome aboard. Glad to have you involved in little community. Little place to hang out where, you know, we can just have a good time and shoot the shit and talk about nonsense. And, you know, we've made the commitment to get away from politics as much as we can. It'll come up occasionally, specifically on Monday episodes a lot when we've got the airing of the grievances, because Jason and Kareem just out of their heads sometimes with all of the political stuff, and rightfully so. It's some batshit crazy nonsense, but you'll get to hear about that wherever you want to hear about that. So we'll move on from that sort of thing. We've got a jam-packed show for you today too. What do we got? We got a lot. We've got more small town news from the Press Republican. We've got a supersized speak out, plus a man with a foolproof plan to make big money from Walmart. And it is the sensation that's sweeping the nation. We've got more sex toy news for you. Mm-hmm. In a number of ways. So all of that. But want to start the show, because it's the uncensored version, with I want to talk a little bit about sex. By the way, this is an erotic landscape music. Erotic Affairs, sexual stimulation from Soundscapes Relaxation Music on YouTube. I mean, it was either that or this. It's a 1 minute of sex sounds orgasm. And it's really poorly mic'd. I'm just saying. Yeah, we get it. So let's go back to this. And this is from Slate.com. So you know it's good. This is from their Awake, a blog about mornings. Headline, Night Sex is a Scam. Mating is Best in the Morning. Yes, she knows. See, when animals have sex, there's usually a bit of logic involved. See, female lions may have sex dozens of times a day, because they're whores. I mean, when they're in heat. Often with multiple male partners. Whore lions! Prey that mate in the daytime can give themselves over to throes of pleasure while nocturnal predators sleep. Manatees in a manatee mating ball corner female manatees in shallower water where sex is easier. Manatee rapist! But human mating is more of a matter of convenience. We have sex in beds because they're the softest place in the house, located in a private room and covered in washable sheets. Or rubber ones, whatever you like. Precluding the hassle of having to spot clean a post-coital sofa. And because sex usually happens in bed, sex usually happens at bedtime. A small 2005 study from the University of South Carolina tracked sex habits of a few dozen adults and found that the majority of tryst happens on the weekends and just before participants went to sleep, between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. But a larger 1982 study of married couples found that two-thirds of participants' sexual activity took place between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. When asked to explain the logic of their sex schedules, 72% of the participants said they had sex when they did, because it was when they and their partners were free, or because they happened to already be in bed. Just 28% said they had sex when they did because they were feeling sexual. This is a sad, boring, aimless way to structure a sex life. I agree. If sex were dinner plans and capitalism were a dinner partner, this is humans saying, I don't know you. I don't know, you decide. We have sex at night and on weekends because we're not at work. We have sex before bed because we've already taken off our street clothes, brushed our teeth, and gotten in a horizontal position. Instead of putting thought and effort into it, we default to sex at night because it's convenient and a force of habit. See, if humans wanted to get the most out of their sexual encounters, we need to break free from the structures of the just-before-bed sex and embrace the promising potential of sex at far better time of day. Morning. To the extent that sex can be analyzed and planned, sex data doesn't lend itself to spontaneity. Mornings are a far more logical time for it. At night, people get into bed sleepy, and they only get sleepier. In the morning, though, people wake up sleepy and gradually get more alert. Yeah, we do. At night, people fight the urge to sleep triggered by getting under the covers at 11 p.m., then get revved up by sex only to pass out again. In the morning, the cover of drowsiness lends itself to lowered inhibitions. Yeah, it does. Fades as the heart rate rises and is gone by the time people have finished. Sex lowers stress levels, relaxing participants for the day ahead. Releases endorphins for a boost of invigorating energy. This means all the benefits of morning yoga and a morning run without leaving the comfy bed and the person who shares it. Before streetlights, home lighting, and late-night dinners made it possible for humans to work, eat, and hang out late into the night, people used to sleep in two discrete chunks. They'd go to bed about 2 hours after dusk, wake up in the wee hours of the morning for an hour or two, and then sleep again. Some would use this time to chat with family members or read a bit. Many others had sex. According to the BBC, a French medical manual from the 1500s counseled couples to have sex after the first sleep, instead of at night, after a full day of work, because they have more enjoyment and do it better after resting. A now-famous 1992 study found that human participants who spent the majority of their days in darkness naturally fell into sleep cycles that compromised those 2 4-hour periods, separated by 1 to 2-hour period, just like their forebears. Post-sleep sex or morning sex may be a time-honored human tradition. Of course, many people still do have morning sex. Yeah, we do. In a recent superdrug survey of 2,000 Brits, Sunday at 9 a.m. turned out to be the most desired time for intercourse. A superdrug representative told the Daily Mail, "I'm not at all surprised that Sunday mornings are such a popular slot for sexiness. People are relaxed, they get more time on their hands." Now, night sex may be easier to finagle for single people who are more likely to do it after a date, a party, or getting loosened up with alcohol. But one friend told me she finds clear-headed morning sex a better indicator of physical compatibility. Depending on the person and the degree of intoxication, sobered-up morning sex usually means better sexual performance, too. Well, no shit. So I'm better well-rested than I am when I'm all drunk, tired, and sloppy? Wow, thanks, science! There hasn't been any scientific research that proves morning sex is more pleasurable, but sex hormone levels do fluctuate throughout the day, and most men experience their highest levels of testosterone in the morning. That's right, the morning wood! Some researchers have likened this to men having a period every day. Yeah, and you wouldn't expect us to keep that inside, would you? A small 2003 study found that female participants reach their peak estrogen levels between 6 and 9 a.m., and research suggests that estrogen, which also peaks during a woman's monthly fertile period, makes women want to have sex. So, it's a little convoluted one way or another. The article goes on from there, but I think it's a good place to leave it off. But yeah, morning sex is awesome. I mean, how do you not like morning sex? Because it makes perfect sense. You wake up. You're like, get yourself all amped up. You do your thing, and then you get in the shower. You're de-stressed for the day. You get to jump in the shower right after because you got somewhere to go. It's the best. It's the best. So if you're not doing it in the morning, come on. Although I do enjoy the idea of sleeping for 4 hours and then wait, because that would go over really well. Honey, we went to bed. Let's say you go to bed at 11. Honey, what time is it? It's 3 a.m. What do you want? Is there something on? No. It's time for after first sleep sex at 3 a.m. And then you get a black eye because that's how it works now. So anyway, if you're not doing it, go ahead and give it a shot. Maybe it'll be the best thing ever. And if you've got kids, make sure you turn those morning cartoons up real loud.
Now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
All right. I struggled long and hard to find something to have a grievance about this week, and I know that's weird. It really is weird for me. I will say this. My grievance, because I traveled, would have to be the fact that people lose their fucking minds when they get anywhere near an airport. It's like they've suddenly had their mind erased, and they've been dropped into this alien land where nothing makes sense, and I don't know what to do, and where do I go, and where do I stand, and do I do this? I blame security partially for this, because sometimes you take off the belt, sometimes you don't, sometimes you take off the shoes. I forgot to take off my belt coming back from Seattle, and I was like, oh, because they of course mindlessly over and over again go, do this, but all my stuff had gone through, and I'm like, oh, I forgot my belt. And the security guy goes, yeah, just hold it in your hand. I'm like, but if it's a weapon and I'm holding it in my hand, why couldn't it just stay on? Is my point. Because I went through the machine that scans you and takes a look at your junk so they can see my twig and berries in the back on the thing. You know, the one that some people are like, I'm not going through there. People are looking at my junk. Really? Your junk's not that special. So that would that would be pretty much my grievance. If you're not sure what to do at the airport, fake it. Fake it till you make it. You idiot. By the way, here's the other thing about boarding a plane, okay? If you've got assigned seating, they load you in order of, like, rows. So you go in and you go and you sit in your assigned seat. You put your stuff in the overhead bin. It's very clear how to do it. Don't be that dick who does it wrong, who takes up the whole bin, or who puts their suitcase in sideways because they're special. Put your thing in the overhead, get your ass out of the aisle so that people can go by. Now, if you're flying on Southwest like I did, and you're just lining up and you get on the plane, find a seat, put your stuff away, sit your ass down, and relax. And worse, on the back end, by the way, every plane, maybe not the huge ones that have multiple exits, but every plane where you exit through the one door in the front, which is 90% of them at least, if you are in the back of the plane, take off your seatbelt if you like, but you might as well stay sitting down because the plane unloads from front to back, row by row by row. It's part of the deal. Stop standing in the aisle. Stop yanking down your suitcase because you think it's going to save you 2 seconds. Be ready to go. Be ready to move when your turn comes. But for the love of God, it's not really that hard. It really isn't. I don't know why people think it is. And I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I'm like, there can't be this many people that this is the first time they've ever traveled anywhere. They just can't fucking be. But it is. So, also, is it my imagination or are they're putting more seats in these fucking planes? Because I'm not taller than I was a year ago. I am not any taller than I was. Yet, my knees get closer and closer to the seat in front of me with every passing year. And that means they're cramming more seats in there because there's no other explanation for it. Because when I started flying several years ago, I could get in, sit down on a plane, and I would have about 3 to 4 inches between my knees and the seat in front of me. And that's just a regular seat. Now, I'm lucky if I have an inch and a half between my knees and the seat in front of me. And in fact, if the person in front of me reclines, my knees can actually hit the back of his seat. And I'm 5'8". I cannot even imagine how horrific it is to travel if you're somebody who is 6'2". I can't even begin to imagine what that's like. But so yes, it's people who don't know how to fly and just the airlines in general.
We gotta stop the madness.
just got to stop the... I mean, I don't even know...
It's a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain.
Indeed. That's all I want. That's all I want is someone to use, anyone to use his fucking brain. You know what else I'd like? I'd really like for my computer to stop being so super cunty right now, because it's being really bad. All right, here we go. Yeah, that would have come several seconds earlier if my computer wasn't scrolling on its own as I'm looking for the music to Sex Toy News. This is the trifecta, ladies and gentlemen, because not only does it involve sex toys, it's more than that. Get ready for it. It's a Florida man. He punched his girlfriend and then struck her with a plastic dildo when she criticized his performance as they were having sex. Now, according to an arrest affidavit, Eric Pritch, who's 42, and Carol Faluza, who's 58, tangled earlier this month at their trailer home in Stewart. That's right, you've got Florida, dildo, and trailer park. While the couple was having sex, Favuza told cops she told Pritch, "You're not a man, you're a mouse." This comment, investigators noted, was in reference to his apparent inability to perform. Does this lady fuck mice? What? How does she know? After that withering appraisal, he allegedly punched her in the face, which is not okay, then struck her in the back several times with a plastic dildo and some type of cord. According to the police, both appeared drunk. That would be Forfer. We've hit the jackpot. While interviewing Favuza, the cop observed swelling to her face and jaw. Later transported to a hospital for treatment, Pritch denied striking her and was brought to the same hospital due to his high level of intoxication. Subsequently booked into the county jail. He's free on bond, waiting a hearing on March 9th. Both have lengthy rap sheets, shocking. They've been previously accused of battering each other, again, shocking. As for the recovery of the weapon wielded, the patrolman reported, "We did not locate the dildo allegedly used in the assault." Sorry about that. Also in sex toy news, they're starting to look less and less like, well, sex toys. Lifestyle company Unbound recently launched new sex toy collection that doubles as high-end jewelry. Well, dubbed Sexual Accessories, the Unbound Jewelry Collection includes pineapple earrings that can be turned into nipple clamps. Well, that's useful. A choker that transforms into a whip. And even a sleek necklace that holds your lube. How much lube are you holding in your necklace? One of the standout items is a set of gold bangles that double as handcuffs with the words, "There's freedom and restraint," etched on each. Ooh, engraved jewelry. The collection is sexy and practical, but perhaps more notably, it's cute! Really, really cute! It was created by a group of New York City-based women back in 2013 to help women empower themselves through sexual exploration. The company specializes in monthly subscription boxes like the BDSM box, filled with handcuffs, nipple and clit clamps, and more. That's right, clit clamps. Ask for them by name. You could get the G-Spot box, which comes with lube and a G-Spot vibrator. And even a strap-on box. Hey now. The company offers somewhat less sexy gift boxes, such as the period box, the pregnancy box, and the ovaries before broveries box. Their latest offering is their signature jewelry collection. Their CEO, Polly Rodriguez, she explained to HuffPo that the new collection offers women, quote, a chance to quite literally wear their sexuality on their sleeve, and in the process have more open conversations about female pleasure and sexuality. To which I say, you go, girl. You go, girl. Meanwhile, what's the biggest question about sex toys? Yeah, how many people are actually using them? Well, there's an infographic for that. I know that makes it weird for an audio podcast, but I'll try to translate it for you. See, if you and your partner have vowed to spice things up in the bedroom, listen up, your saving grace just might come in the form of a handheld battery-operated device. New research from Adam and Eve shows just how popular sex toys are in couples' relationships. The sex brand asked more than 1,000 adults about their sex toy usage, and the results gave some interesting insight into what goes down between the sheets. Surprisingly, 37% of respondents said they never used any sort of toy, be it a dildo, vibrator, or something similar. These are the most popular, though, followed by penis rings, anal beads, and lubes. I don't know that lube is a sex toy. I mean, it's more utility. Either way, I'm getting caught up in the minutiae here. For those in a relationship, however, toys aren't usually the first thing brought into the bedroom. See, more than 44% will wait until they're dating more than a year before bringing up the topic of sex toys, while only 18% start things off with them in the mix. Luckily, the company wanted to keep it hygienic and asked if people clean their sex toys. Here's the problem. A whopping 28% say they've never cleaned their products. Never. I mean, maybe you're the only one using it, but still. How do you not? I mean, come on. You wash your hands, don't you? Like when you go to the bathroom, and I mean, you're touching the same area. You're touching the same general area. You have to. You can't just not wash your sex toys. That's just Yeah, it's unfortunate. Lord, what is wrong with people? Here are some fascinating facts. Each year, consumers spend more than $15 billion on sex toys. Here are the facts and figures. When asked if they've ever used sex toys, such as vibrators, dildos, or masturbators, 63% of respondents said yes, 37% said no. What do they look for in their sex toys? See, they prefer... It's interesting. Other types of toys got 25%, which was tied for first with realistic toys, meaning they want those dildos to look like penises. 20% said they want higher-end toys. 14% said they want smaller toys. 13% want more powerful toys, and only 4% are dirty whores who want bigger toys. I kid, I'm not shaming. The most popular sex toys purchased online are... Other leads the pack with 23%, followed by vibrators at 19%, dildos at 16%, yes, put it in, lubes at 14%, then anal beads, yeah, you can't have anal beads without lubes, that's at 12%, and just under that, penis rings at 12.8. I would wager that that's the same customer. Just saying. The most popular toys on Adam and Eve are the A&E Silicone G-Gasm Rabbit, the Thrusting Jackrabbit Vibrator, the Womanizer, the Wet Wabbit Vibrator, Adam and Eve Butterfly Kiss. Now something for the men, the Fleshlight Go Surge. Then Adam's True Feel Dildo, the A&E Magic Massager Deluxe 8X, and the Magic Wand, which is rechargeable. Now, how often do they clean their sex toys? 63% say after every use, 9% say after a few uses, and 28% say never. When asked if they'd ever seen a friend, roommate, or parent's toy out in the open, only 32% said yes, 68% said no. When they were asked if their partner knows they use sex toys, 60% said yes and 40% said no. However, 78% of women who use or have used sex toys say they were also in a relationship, and married women are twice as likely to use vibrators. Now, how many people initiate the use of sex toys? 45% said they don't use sex toys with a partner, that it's a solo thing. 31% say they wait for their partner to bring them up. And 24% said they initiate the toy's use. And how long before they bring it up with the partner? Well, 44% said dating a year or more. 38% said dating a month or more. And 18% of brave people said at the beginning of the relationship, I need a huge dildo. So, that's sex toy news. That's all the stats for you. and broke it on down. Meanwhile, and I think this makes sense, so I'm just going to keep the music going. A Texas man's tongue-in-cheek plan to sue Walmart is going viral thanks to a photo of him waiting for the letter P in the pharmacy sign on the side of the building to fall on his head. Manuel Garcia posted a photo of himself to Facebook showing him standing outside the Edinburgh store where the P in the pharmacy drive-thru is dangling. Here waiting for the P to fall and knock me out to be able to sue Walmart, he joked. He posted a second photo the following day showing day two of his quest. It's quite amusing. Yes, Mr. Trump, that's where he's hiding. He said, honestly, when I posted that picture on Facebook, I never thought it would go viral. I posted just to mess around with my friends. Never did I imagine it would go viral and crazy all over the world. A Walmart spokesman thanked Garcia for drawing attention to the plight of the pea, saying, we want to thank Mr. Garcia for making us aware of our falling pea, and we're glad he wasn't harmed during his stunt. His sharp eye and camera skills helped us fix the sign quickly, and we're grateful for his efforts. How about a reward, Dick? If you're really grateful, maybe you go ahead and give him something for his time standing out there, if that's what made you aware of it. Because nobody inside your store bothered to look up, because when they walked into work, they just had their head down looking at the ground, just shuffling their feet, kicking a rock, going, I can't believe I got to work here today. Oh, this sucks so bad. You know what would make it better? Some Hispanic fellow, if the pee fell on his head from pharmacy, he could sue the place. That would make it better. That's what happens at the Walmart. Just saying. All right, that's going to do it for sex toy news for this episode. Oh, but are we done? No, we're not. And by we, I mean you and I. We are not done, my friend, because we still have this.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
Oh, yes, and back to the city of Plattsburgh, New York, where the Press Republican wants you to speak out and speak your mind. So people in subsidized housing are upset they can't smoke? If they have extra cash for cigarettes, maybe they could put that money toward rent in a place of my tax dollars. Sorry, having a hard time feeling sorry for them. Refugees entering the USA need to be limited. The cost of creating hardship and a burden to taxpayers. That's a weird dipping sound. What's going on? They cross the border, apply for asylum, welfare checks, and legal aid while there's need for food, medicine, and care for American citizens. Charity starts at home! There you go. Oh boy, here we go. Climate change believers. Okay, it's not believer, it's science. It's proven science. You don't have to believe in it. Anyway, climate change believers say 90% of scientists, and that's in quotes, agree with them. What they don't say is what they agree on is that the world is getting warmer. To that, they are right. Ever since the last ice age, the world has warmed. What the believers forget to include in their statement is only a small portion of these scientists believe that humans have caused such a rise. Most feel we have contributed to, not caused the warming. Okay, you're splitting hairs, you're contributing to. If I dump a 5-gallon bucket of water into the tub, I've contributed to filling the tub. If everybody else drops a thimbleful in, have I caused it? Or am I just making it so much more full than everybody else? You rube. Next. Hey, what are alternative facts? To me, they're what we all cite every time we engage in debate. In school, we learn there are two or more viewpoints on every issue. When we argue a point, each side cites facts, innuendos, and opinions to try and sway the audiences to their viewpoint. An example of alternative facts can be found in every news story, article, opinion piece, etc., on every subject put forth by two or more sources. We as the audience need to sort through the alternative facts to find our truth. No, you asshole. There are facts, and facts are facts, and they are true. There can be different perspectives on things. But facts are facts. Sex offenders repeatedly committing violations and only being sentenced to probation over and over is ludicrous and dangerous. The law, judges, and probation departments need to change to protect us. Government leaders are asleep at the switch. Well, if that's actually the case, then yes, they are in fact asleep at the switch. Are they actually asleep at the switch? I don't know. I really don't know. You know what I do know, though? Let me get a little mood music here. Yeah, little. Since we're wrapping up small town news, and it's winter, finally in Speak Out, I would like to thank the plow operators here in New York. City, state, county, town. You did a very good job with the last big snowfall. I drove around city Monday morning with no problem. Well, thank you. Finally something to end positively with all of that. There's not two facts. Facts are facts. Truth is truth. You have a different perspective about truth, but there's not another fact. There's different ways of looking at things, whether something is good or bad, but whether it is or not, really not up for debate. And I blame Bill Clinton for this with his, it depends on what your definition of is. There, I've blamed a Clinton for something so you can feel better. Isn't that great? Also, people who believe in science are just called people. Because science isn't a faith, you don't have to believe in it for it to be true. It's science, it's provable. That's why it's a thing. Just saying. Maybe I've found my grievances at the end of the show. With the idiots in Plattsburgh writing in to Speak Out with their nonsense about this and that and the other thing. Hillbillies. God, I moved out of that hellhole. Just kidding. No, I'm not. No, there's plenty of great people in Plattsburgh, and then there's the people who read in to Speak Out. But hey, without them, do we have small town news? Do we have anything? No, we don't. Thanks, boobs. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. I think that's enough of me. Kareem and Jason back next week as we count down to episode 500 of The Nate Darling Show. That's going to be in 1 week. Will it be a special episode? Only in that we're going to cuss a lot. Otherwise, probably not. But we'll see. We'll see. Who knows how it's going to go. We're going to wrap it up. John, I believe he was Cougar Mellencamp at this point. Yeah, it's small town. I'm The Nate Darling Show. See you on Wednesday. Bye, everybody. Got nothing against the big town. Still hate to see it enough to say, look who's in the big town.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.